Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to PD Radio. Every Tuesday, bringing you real talk.
That's right.
Music, interviews, and much more. PD Radio.
Right on.
All right, now that was Marvin Gaye. What's going on? Hello, 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 XOXO. Thank you for tuning in with PD Radio. I'm your hostess, Miss PD, and as always, I am joined by my intelligent co-host, Producer Black. Black, how you feeling tonight?
I am feeling lovely. I mean, it is what? We have a bomb show, as always. The energy is always high. The decibels is just crazy, so we're going to keep it rolling. I do want to give some love to, you know, before we can move forward, we always should, you know, look at what happened yesterday. So I want to give big ups to, you know, last week we had a great show with Tony Stills and also Lynn Poindexter. If you haven't checked it, hit us up on the website, pdradio.site40.net. So that's how I'm bringing it this week. So what you got for me?
That's right. Well, in the second half of tonight's show, we will be joined by the lovely hip-hop artist from Indiana, A.G. Soulful. She will take us into the journey of her world. So I'm pretty excited about that. I love learning what makes, you know, people tick and pushes them to do what it is they do. It's very fascinating to me. Yeah, so I look forward to that. I think she has great music,
I'm with you. I heard some of the music, and it is crazy, so I know the listeners are going to love it. So I can't wait for that interview.
Yeah, for her to be so young, she's coming correct with it. So, you know, respect to her on that. So why don't we kick off the show with some news that's going on around the world right now? You know, right now we have the Chicago Teachers Union that made good on his promise to walk out on more than 400,000 students at 675 schools. How crazy is that?
It's insane right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Black, we had a discussion about this before where we feel like teachers deserve more. You know, you have teachers that are shaping the minds of the future. And the teachers really deal with a lot. Like, their jobs never really end. So it doesn't end in a classroom, because once they go home, they have to make lesson plans, they have to grade papers. They are doing a lot. And I feel like teachers deserve, you know, more money.
Definitely.
And in this case, though, I'm not understanding it. I have to get more facts about it. But from what I understand is they're one of the highest paid in the country, in Chicago.
Really?
They're making at least $5,000 more than the average teacher.
Okay.
So I'm feeling like, you know, understand where your bread is buttered and don't be greedy about it. You know, I don't want to put my foot in my mouth because I don't know all the details of it, but if they say the average pay for teachers in Chicago right now without benefits, is $76,000.
Okay.
That's the average pay.
Really?
Yeah.
they need to shut the hell up then.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like you have teachers only making $40,000, so you making $76,000? They say Chicago is one of the highest in the nation. So they're tripping right now, I don't understand it. Again, I don't know everything about, you know, I don't know all the facts about it, but to me, that's tripping me out. So, I don't get that. What do you think about it? Yeah. A lot of times, though, you find that greed.
Right.
It's like people don't know how to be content. You always, it's okay to want more, but sometimes you got to understand where you are is where you're supposed to be.
Like you said, we don't know all the facts on this, and, you know, who knows what kind of, you know, stipulation they have in there that they're trying to get across. It could be extra benefits, so I don't want to pass, like you said, I don't want to pass judgment. We'll get some more information, and next week we'll come back and, you know, see what's going with that. But that is a nice base salary. That's all I can say. Because I know in New Jersey, I know a couple people.
It's not that, right.
No. They started out teaching, and they were making about $32,000 to $34,000, you know, thousand a year. So that's like half. So you
understand why I'm tripping about it. It's like you have teachers that's making like, you know, $35,000, $40,000, and their average pay is $76,000, and that's without benefits. Like, wow, y'all need to chill out. You know?
Yeah, that's crazy. But,
yeah, moving on from that. enough about that. Let's talk about what happened, what's going on in Dallas right now. The Dallas man that killed his girlfriend after she revealed to him she had HIV.
Oh, I thought you were trying to kick it with the Cowboys for a second.
No, I'm not going in.
I tried to sneak it in.
No Cowboys. Right. Tone it down, Black. Tone it down.
All right, I got to bring it down a couple of decibels. My bad. But go ahead. What you got for me? What was that?
So Dallas police say a 36-year-old man has admitted to fatally stabbing his girlfriend following her revelation that she was HIV positive after they had sex. Cicely Bolden, 28, was stabbed in the bedroom of the apartment she shared with her 7-year-old son and 8-year-old daughter, who found her body last Thursday. Larry Dunn said he was so upset by her admission that he got a knife from the kitchen and stabbed her to death. And he told detectives, he said, "She killed me, so I kill her." Crazy.
Ooh. That is,
like,
that's deep.
I mean, I know his mom is going crazy. He just, you know, had sex with this woman. I think they were only going together like a little under 2 months or something. You know,
right.
So I can imagine his mind going crazy, like, after she told him that. Like, but to, I don't know. I don't know.
Hey.
He just went, that's tripping me out.
I'm just going to keep it real.
He got a knife.
I'm sorry. I got to keep it real because I know a lot of people out there, well, you know, you need to use protection. You need to do that. You need to do this. You need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all understood. But if a man or a woman, if you're going downtown, you know what I'm saying? If you're hooking it up, it don't matter. It's all null and void anyway. So that whole wrap it up thing is kind of like for the birds, because people are doing things that's, you know, all willy nilly anyway, so you're gonna contract the disease regardless. So it's a sad story, and people really need to, you know, really get into who they're dating and things like that, and gotta be careful out there. You know, that casual sex is bull. You got
pretty much.
Oh man, yeah, definitely.
But I guess what really trips me out is, like, she told him after they. You know,
exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
If she was going to tell him anyway, why did she tell him before and give that man the option of whether or not he wants to take that step with her? I'm sure he wouldn't have, but I'm just saying, like, why would you have sex with somebody and then tell them afterwards? If your goal is to let them know, then you should let them know beforehand. You don't possibly infect someone else and then say, oh, you know, by the way. And it's not like, you know, she just said she had an STD. She, like, she has something that can kill him. Like, come on.
Full blown.
That's what he
told
detectives. He said, "She killed me, so I kill her." So he felt like the minute she told him that, he was dead.
He flipped.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm going to flip the script on you a little bit. Now, you know how sometimes when a man cheats on his wife or whatever, and then they call it a crime of passion, right? She walks in on it, and then she just trips, or he walk in on it, he flips, and then they can get off. Can this be that kind of case? Now, if someone came to you and said, you know, you had sex with somebody, and then a day later they tell you they're HIV positive, and you flip right there, do you think you can get off on something like this? Is that, you know what I mean? Like, talk to me.
I see where they could go that route with it. I truly do. As far as in our situation, meaning Black people, we tend to don't get the same, you know, trials the way everyone else do. But I think if it was another race, they would present it that way. But could I see it going that way? Yeah. I mean, like what? Man, come on. Like, what would you do if your woman, you know, you just got done having sex with your woman, she like, I'm HIV positive. Like, what the?
It's a blatant
setup. Like, I'd be pulling my freaking hair out. Like, are you serious? Like,
you
put my life
in
jeopardy?
Somebody.
Like, it's one thing if you don't know, But she knew. And she told him right after, like, man.
Hey, you know, I can't judge the man on this one.
I mean, I don't think it's right, you know, to kill her, but you can kind of understand, you know, where he was coming from.
I'm not even going to judge this one because I can see it. I can see where someone can flip like that. I mean, there's been people who flipped over oodles and noodles. You know what I mean? Like, you don't drunk up all the Kool-Aid and people done shot somebody. So, I mean, come on.
Right. But I've seen some of the comments people were making, and most of them were in his favor. They were saying, you know, people who were commenting, they were saying, that bitch deserved it, and, you know, I'm glad he did it, and yada, yada. I'm like I said, I don't advocate violence like that. I really don't, and I don't believe in killing somebody because they kill somebody you love. That's I don't think like that, but I can understand it.
Right.
I can truly understand it because I put myself in his position. You know, the man came to me and just said, you know, I have HIV. Right after we got finished doing whatever, I'm gonna look at him like, motherfucker, you out your mind. Are you crazy?
Whoa.
I might flip.
Hold
you know
up,
what I mean?
Man.
I might flip.
Right. Exactly.
So I have to put myself in that person's shoes. Like, how would I take that? Like I said, not like just a, you know, some standard STD. It's like you talking about something that's going to kill you. Can't
you
kill
know what?
You. So
I'm making that the violation for the day. I'm making that the violation right there. I need people to call in, and we need to have a ruling on that. Is that a violation that the man actually stepped over the line and took this girl's life? Do you see that as a violation? Or is he wrong? Or, you know, how do you, can you see yourself in that situation? Call us up, please, 646-478-3599. We need to hear what you got to say about that. Because that, to me, that's mind-blowing. That's some news that you just don't want to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. Like again, I just want to say, like, I don't agree with him killing her, but I do understand it. I don't think just because, you know, somebody hurt you, you have to go that deep to hurt them.
Right.
But I truly, from the bottom of my heart, understand how he could have flipped out like that.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe
when
he was stabbing her, he wasn't really trying to kill her, but his mind was in such a, like, he just wanted to hurt her, I think. But his mind was in such a rage, he didn't know how to stop. And I could see that. You know how that would happen. But, well, on that same note, in New Orleans, a 57-year-old New Orleans man was accidentally shot and fatally injured by his wife, who mistook him for an intruder. Now, how crazy is that? I know that wife is, like, dying inside right now. Can you imagine?
Okay,
she's
I got
husband.
See. I got
they say it was an
though.
Accident. She wasn't arrested, you know. But
what kind of details you got? I need details on that. I need details. I need to know, was the house dark? Did he put his key in? Did he break in the house? Because if he put his key in, he opened the door, why are you shooting? You're not going to shoot if someone's putting their key in. You know, I need to know what's going on. That I don't know. It sounds a little
maybe
suspect
his key
to me.
Was stuck. I don't really know, but maybe his key was stuck and he's, like, wiggling the handle.
Nah.
I don't know, but still, that dude seemed kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Because she would say something like, who's at the door? You know what I mean? She would say something, and he would be like, honey, it's me. Something, instead of just shooting automatically.
Exactly.
I mean, especially if it's coming through the front or back door, you would, you know, you would call out and, you know, honey, is that you? Or something, or so they just shoot like that.
Exactly.
I don't know, but.
I'm not saying
she's
supposed to
know what
that
man. Maybe more to that story is
going to
come.
Yeah. It has to. It has to come out because that's not enough. I, you know, that's not enough. I can't, you know, come on.
You're right.
Unless you're doing something foul, you know.
Yeah. Maybe she was mad at him about something and that was her excuse. I don't know. There's more to come about that story. We shall see.
Yeah, we should definitely see.
We shall see. So your boy, Al Pacino, I hear, is set to play the role of Joe Paterno in a movie not yet scripted. What do you think about that, Black?
I love it. And the reason why I love it is because I know Al. Yeah, that's right. I know Al personally. I don't see enough movies to know this man. Trust me. I'm a movie fanatic. So I know he's going to play the role good. He actually has a voice already intact. Mm. He's already the same height as the man. He throws some glasses on, it's a wrap. You can't go wrong with that formula. So I can see that being a really good movie. Hopefully, you know, there's some good, some new details that come out when they do, you know, actually put the movie in production. So we shall see. What do you think?
Hey, I really don't know much about Joe Paterno, so I can't really get into that too much, you know. So, if you say he's good, then I'll take your word for it.
I think we need to bring a caller in and see if they want to comment on some of the topics we just, you know, put out there real quick. And let's get this vibe going for the night. So let's see.
Let's do it.
Ooh, the Speedy Radio. What's your name? Where you calling from?
So this is Judge. What's going on, people?
What's going on, Judge?
Mr. Infamous?
And Black. What's going on?
How you feeling? Man, we doing good.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better, but just want to say y'all doing a hell of a job like y'all always do each and every week, bringing the people, some news, some fresh stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that guy's top the ranks. But
we're gonna break it down tonight. We got some 9/11 talk. We're gonna jump into. So,
I just want to comment on the Dallas thing. You know, what I mean, with the A's, the girl and the
right.
She gave that nigga a black rose. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Like, the black rose. Exactly.
He said the black rose. I'm done.
That's the kiss of death right there.
Right. You know what I mean? You know, and I think anybody in their right mind, and he was sane. You know what I mean? Not until, you know what I'm saying, she gave him the news that she had AIDS and gave it to him. Just gave him a death warrant. You know?
Right.
Even though people are living with AIDS, but just to get that news, like, you know, AIDS kills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know, so...
you already tainted. Once you know, you find out you have HIV, you're considered tainted. Like, nobody really wants to deal with you. Even though, like you said, people are living with it today, you're already tainted. People don't want to deal with you. So, you know, it's not something you want to hear.
You know, the government is not, you know what I mean? And also, too, you're not going to get no jobs. You know, jobs is going to look at you like, whoa, wait, hold on. You know what I mean? You may cut up in here and see good. The thing about it is people are really misinformed because through saliva, you can't contract, you know what I'm saying, the AIDS virus. Only if a motherfucker got a cut, you know, just like back then, you want to go down in the bushes or, you know what I'm saying, in skinny fit off the diving board. You know what I'm saying? If you got a cut, you know,
off the diving board.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you was dumb, man.
You know what I mean?
He's in a bush.
You know what I mean? You want to catch something. So, you know, people really, really need to wake up. You know what I mean? Because
definitely.
Yeah.
It's sad that what happened down there. You know what I mean? Because if it was me, I don't know. I probably would have choked him out too. You get that
over
here. You know, hey, baby. You know,
hey, I tell you what. I'd have been straight. You forgot the goddamn words. Hey, it would have been crazy. That's, I don't know.
I just feel like if her intention, like she told him, so she wanted him to know. So if her intention was to tell him, why wouldn't she tell him beforehand? Why would you have sex with that man and then tell him and think he was going to be okay with that?
That's that
why
evilness
would you
right
think
there.
That?
That's
that's
evil.
That ghetto mentality. That's what it is.
Right.
If I'm dying, I don't care who I take out with. That's how people think. That's why you have to protect yourself, because people feel like if they're infected with something that's possibly deadly, they don't care about you. They really don't care. They feel like if I have to leave this world at some point, so do you. That's why you got to protect yourself, people, because you just don't know.
They won't think two shakes about it.
A pretty face, a handsome smile is not going to cut it. You need to know.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You got to confront a person like, look, you know what I mean? This is what I have. There's safe ways that we could do this if you want to do this. Boom. But just tell a brother afterwards, like, hey, you know, or a sister, hey, you know what I mean? You know, you got that thing. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
you know what I mean?
That's premeditated murder.
Like I said, I don't advocate violence, but I truly, truly, truly understand. I may have flipped out too. Like, I don't want to hear nothing like that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Another thing I want to comment on, the guy, you know what I mean, well, the wife that shot the husband. You know what I mean? Come on. You know what I mean? Just like Kenny said, you know what I mean? What I'm saying is, if I put my key in the door coming in, and I'm going to be like, Ethel, I'm home, baby.
Right.
Yeah, something's not right about that.
Door, you got to give me some more details on that, man, but.
That's why I say I think there's more to come with that story because, like you said, even if he, like, wiggling his key in, like, he's shaking the door handle because his key gets stuck. It happens sometimes.
Right.
Your key gets stuck, so you're wiggling the handle. She would say, you know, she would say something like, honey, is that you? Or, you know what I mean? Something.
Right.
Instead of just shooting. Like, nah, something. Come on.
It's tough times out there right now, and people are on edge. You know what I'm saying? And this is not the end. You know what I mean? They said that there's more people on welfare now than there was, you know what I'm saying, 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the jobs, we all know about the job situation. We all know about the economy. You know what I mean? Now the gas is going up. You know what I mean? You know, people are either saying, hey, you know what I mean, do I eat lunch or put food on the table or I got to get to work? You know, or I got to find work. I got to put gas in here. So there's a lot of stress going on. And, you know, you got to be, you know, really, you know, your medulla got to be real strong right now not to be going over the edge on somebody or something, you know what I mean, going through some crazy thing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Think about this. Really, 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 really think about this. They talk about the economy is so bad, right? Okay. Please tell me what's wrong with the economy as far as who's, you know, putting out jobs for people. This right here is a fixed economy where you have these corporations. Right now, they have the ability to hire people for cheap labor because they know that the job market is real short. There's a shortage of jobs, so they can actually hire somebody in at a lower pay rate because they're hoping for desperation.
Right.
So if you have, you know, a degree or whatever like that, they don't have to pay you what that degree is actually worth. They don't have to pay you what your certifications are actually worth. They can bring you in at such a low rate. It's crazy. They're making a killing. They're still making the same profit, but they won't pay you what you're worth. You know what I mean? It's cool.
Yeah.
Companies are getting rich
right
now.
Finding it more and more. Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. They're getting rich.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and people want to vote for Romney, like, come on. This is far beyond trying to vote for Obama because he's black. There's nothing to do with that. In my opinion, he's the better candidate. But people want to vote for Romney, and they don't realize, like, Republicans are not for poor people. They're not even for middle class. They want rich, and they want poor.
Exactly.
Point blank, period. So if you ain't rich,
right.
You have
right.
nothing coming. Middle class, you have nothing coming. Why do you want to vote for him? It's so bad right now, it's only going to get worse if you put that man in office. Come on. He's not about the average person.
No.
This man ain't even releasing his tax returns because he know. Come on.
Oh, you know.
You know, we think it's hard right now. Put that man in office. We all going to be crying.
Oh,
all of us
program.
Are going to be crying. Let me tell you, people are going to be getting houses and having like two or three families living in one house just to make it. I'm trying to tell you, that's how bad it's going to get if that man gets into office. And, you know, and my boss is an Indian man. He said a lot of, you know, Indian people, they do that. They will get like one big house and you'll have like two or three families living in that house just to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
Right here in the United States, that's just how they do.
Right.
You know, we're hurting right now. We're struggling, and you know, you put that man in office. Like I said, we all gonna be crying. You know.
Hey, you ain't lying. You guys got to call in. Hit us up. We talking some real talk tonight. We gonna keep it rolling. We gonna dive into some 9/11 right now. So hit us up 646-478-3599. We about to get it in. And I just want to, you know, we're going to get the round table real quick for the next half hour. You know, we're going to break this thing down and see what's going on. So the only thing I got to say,
you know, right off the top.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, anybody out there listening, if you have a brief story or a memory you'd like to share about that day, 9/11, please call us up right now. We do want to hear from you at 646-478-3599. Don't be scared. Just call us up, you know, and just tell us how you felt about that day, what you were doing that day, you know, when it happened. We really want to hear from you. I can tell you
right.
what I was doing. That was one of the days where I used to work late, and I had just showered. I was getting ready for work, and as always, when I'm getting ready for work, you know, I watch the news. So I'm watching the news, and I'm seeing this, and I'm, like, looking at the TV, like, in a trance, like I'm not seeing what I'm seeing. And I hear the newscasters and I hear them reporting, but I'm like, I'm not hearing what I'm hearing. I'm not seeing what I'm seeing. Like, I really sat there in a trance, like, huh? Like, I felt like I was in dummy mode. When I look back on it, I feel like I was in dummy mode. Like, just, no. I'm sitting there and I'm watching and I'm listening, like, no. Like, this is really not, like, it's not happening. And then when the second plane hit, I'm like, no. Like, I'm still in dummy mode. Like, this is not really going on. The impact of that day just had me done. It had me done that day. I can't even lie. I was done. Stuck on stupid. Like, this did not happen. This did, no. Not here. Not in the United States. This did not happen.
You know, the funny thing, CEO, when I was on that day, you know, I mean, that morning I went to work at 5 o'clock, and around 8:30 or so, like 9 o'clock when it first happened, you know, one of the professors said, "Hey, you know, I mean, come to my office, check this out. You know, have you heard?" I said, "Have you heard what?" He said, "You know, a plane had hit the tower." So my first instinct was like, "Oh man, somebody, you know, the captain was drunk." You know, I mean, what did he make a wrong turn?
Right.
You know, and then. You know, started looking at me, you know, like, wait a minute, hold on. You know, they just tried, because I was watching, you know, like, Al-Qaeda stuff, you know, like 2 weeks early. They were talking about, you know, in Yemen, how they, you know, took a little boat and blew up the one of the boats out there, you know, your ships, you know. So, you know, I said, oh, man, you know what I mean? Then the other one hit, I was like, we under attack. So I called, you know, I called S-Love. I was like, look, you know what I mean? Calling people up in New York, you know what I mean? This third, all the cell phones was cut off. You know what I mean? I couldn't call her no more. You know what I mean? The phones were dead. It was one of those days, like, oh, you know, it almost felt like Armageddon. You know what I mean?
Right, like a
yeah.
Right, because, you know,
right.
When you got back home, you know what I mean, you start getting all the news, like, there's two other planes up in the sky and shit. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, we you know, I was calling black everybody. Like, and I really think, I really believe, since that day, I think every family, you know what I mean, in the United States or even, you know, worldwide, need to have a plan for, you know what I'm saying, evacuation, you know what I'm saying, you know,
oh,
with
yeah.
their family. Like, a
oh, yeah.
for, you know what I'm saying, you know, have a flat, you know, flashlight, like a survival kit, because you just...
Yeah, you've been saying that, Jess. You've
yes.
been saying that for,
yes.
for a minute now, yeah.
Yes, so, you know, we all got to come to heads with that, talk with the family, you know what I mean, and, you know, get that up and pop, because, you know, you just never know. You know, you just never know, and, you know,
well,
these days, man,
well, let me... Let me break down some of the facts about it that I found online. It says, in total, 3,497 people died in the attacks on September 11th. 2,735 civilians were in the World Trade Center. 87 passengers and crew members aboard American Airlines Flight 11 that hit the North Tower. 60 passengers and crew aboard United Flight 175 that hit the South Tower. 343 New York City firefighters and rescue workers, and 23 New York City law enforcement officers, 47 Port Authority workers, and 37 Port Authority police officers lost their lives when they rushed in to save the victims in the World Trade Center. 36 passengers and crew aboard United Flight 93 who gave their lives stopping four hijackers over Pennsylvania, and 64 passengers and crew members aboard American Airlines Flight 77 that crashed into the Pentagon, killing them and 125 people that were in that building. In addition to that, the 19 cowards, the terrorists who hijacked the four airliners, murdered the 3,497 people.
That's
crazy. Yes.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Crazy. Before we get into like the details, I do have a quick story I want to tell. It's not my story.
Mm-hmm.
I was working.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had to go into work on 9/11. That's a whole other story. I'm not even going. But my old manager, I owe you one. But anyway, a friend of mine, her name is Tamika Senior. She actually worked in Tower 2 at the time of 9/11. And we were talking today on Facebook. And she broke down her story to me. So basically, here's how it went. That morning, she was supposed to go into work, right? Her, I think, cousin or sister's daughter was sick or something like that, and they had asked her if she can get some medication, things like that. So her mom had called and said, hey, can you get the medication and blah. So she made the decision to get the medication and go into work late. Well, she goes and she gets the medication, and then finds out that, well, she didn't know at the time, but she was like, well, now I got to go into work. And then she had called her mom. Her mom was like, don't go into work. Something happened. She was like, no, I got to go into work, you know, saying I have to go in. You know, at that time, nobody really knew what was going on, right? So she goes in. She gets into the city and then finds out, you know, this craziest chaos, you know, planes hit, all this craziness. She said she went in at like 9-something. Didn't get home until like 7 or 8 o'clock. It was like martial law down in New York City. She couldn't even get out. But during that time, her father actually worked for mass transit, and she didn't know what was going on. So and she, no one heard from her father or anything like that. So just to make a long story short, she had decided to walk, basically walk home, I guess, from the city or whatever the case was. And she had got on one bus, but you couldn't see who the driver was, right? The bus was so crowded, like all the buses were so crowded, so they were only letting people on from the back of the bus. So she got on the back of the bus, and then she was like, has anybody, you know, heard anything? And all this was just, you know, all the chaos, right? So she took out a picture of her father and was passing it through the crowd, through the front of the bus, through everybody, so they could look at it and say, have you seen this person? Have you seen this person? And then it got to the front of the bus. It was her father who was driving the bus, and he had shouted. It was crazy. It touched me so much. I was like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
I mean, so you never know, you know, you just never know when you're not supposed to go to work. If you have a feeling, like, just don't do it. So, I mean, it's some other details in there, but it was just, I just thought that story
that's
was crazy.
Crazy.
So.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's like out of a movie almost.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to read something. It's a short poem that I wrote, and I wrote it a year after the first anniversary of 9/11. And it's just my thoughts on what happened. So this is a poem that I wrote, like I said, one year after the first anniversary of 9/11. It all comes from a dream. The belief from the highest being to manifest love and unity, a breath of life into our bodies by unselfishness. Yet selfish is just what we've become. From all walks of life we are, be it black, white, red, yellow, Italian, Indian, Latin, African, we're brothers. As Christians, we're sisters, Jewish and Muslim, and ignorance has no place in America's bosom. As children of many religions, races, and creeds, we need to understand the power that hatred can breed. And remembering the disaster, let our eyes see clear. We must be united to show the enemy no fear. To embrace our differences could only make us strong. We won't always be right or get along. Not seeing eye to eye is what makes us what we are. One nation, under God, yet still individuals, with liberty and justice for all. America, please, if nothing else gained, let us learn from the power of unity, from the unjust travesty on the ground of the slave. Let their memory become the glue that bonds us through terror, lifting our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. For God has blessed America, one nation strong. I wrote that after.
Yeah. I like that. Oh, yeah. You need to have that frame right there. And, every household.
This is an amazing country. You have so many countries that want to come here for the opportunities that we have. And, you know, we can't even stick together. And that's really sad. Everybody wants to be separated into groups. At the end of the day, it's like this. God made all of us not to be separated. So why are we separating each other? I don't understand it. I don't understand racism. I just don't understand it. I don't get it. You know? I know how it starts and how, you know, it's bred, but I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's not in my heart to hate on anybody who's different from me, so I do not understand it for anything. And this is why 9/11 happened. You know, people hate America. They feel like we have it too easy. They feel like, you know, we're spoiled. And we are, in a way. We are. There's a lot of opportunities here. There's a lot of freedom here. But to kill innocent people because you don't like how we're living, like, I can't understand that. I can never go to another country and say, you guys are stupid. You're stuck and, you know, you have no freedom. You should all die. Like, how do you, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, some of it might be, and Mr. Infamous might agree, but some of it is that America, you know, we don't like to talk about it. We have been putting our foot in people's asses from the beginning. We go over to third world countries. And we make up bullshit just to try to take over some land, try to get some oil, try to get some resources. So for a long time we've been doing experiments on different third world countries, different plagues, testing different things. We're not going to do it over here, of course. We're going to do it over there where no one can respond to it. So, of course, people they don't want the Western ways. They don't want that democracy. You know what I mean? They want to live life in the Stone Age, however they want to do it. They don't want to be messed with. So, and they just don't like the influence that we try to, you know, put on them. So, it's crazy. It's George Bush, you know, he just took it to a whole nother level. Like,
cocaine's a hell of a drug.
You know, he's just wiping that nose on the podium. So, I don't know.
What do you think about it, Jess?
Yeah, it's sad all the way around. We're human beings, you know what I mean? First, we're humans, you know, and, you know, for that to go down, supposedly the way it went down is just sad, you know what I mean, for the people that lost their lives and even the troops that went over to defend this country at any war, you know what I mean, that lost their lives, you know. It's sad that we have war and hatred out there, but that's a part of this the system that we live in. But
I can't even imagine, man. Like, I don't even know anyone who was in the towers or anything when it happened. I personally don't know anyone, but I cannot even imagine. And then when
but
you see the footage afterwards, you know, when you see the footage afterwards and you just see people so desperate that they're, like, jumping. Oh, my God. Like, how does your heart not sink when you see that? These people are jumping from these top floors because they rather jump than to just die that way. It's like when you see it afterwards, it's just like, I don't.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, and a lot of these foreigners, I mean, seriously, like, they cruel with it. Let me, like, when I first, never, ever, ever forget this. When I first started my job years ago, and I've been here almost 15 years now, you know, telemarketers, they call there all the time. So every time I answer the phone, I'm kind of leery because they try to call there and act like they know you personally. Like, they'll call there, like, they'll know my name for whatever reason. They'll call next for Tammy, or they'll try to call next for my boss. They can't even say his name right, but they're a close personal friend. You know what I mean? They'll say Dr. Desaya, and I'm like, yeah, Dr. Desai. You know, but they're a close personal friend, though, but they don't even know how to say his name right. But anyway, make a long story short, they will call there. These telemarketers will call there, try to act like they're a close personal friend just to get you on the phone. And when you don't give in to what they want, this one telemarketer, I tell you no lie, he told me if I didn't put the doctor on the phone that minute, he was going to come to the job and shoot me in my cut.
What?
I will never, ever, ever, ever forget that. He was going to, that's how deep it was for them. Like, if I didn't put him on the phone, he was going to come up there and shoot me in my cut. His exact
word. Okay, he's a hell of a drug.
And I was...
I'm
like laughing at it, like, okay, like it really didn't make me mad. I was laughing at it, like, okay, so come on, like, but these foreigners, they're so deep in what they think and what they believe, like they will go to any lengths. They will risk their own lives. They will die in an airplane. You know what I mean? Because they believe in what they want so much. Like, I don't. That's crazy.
I mean,
I don't get
that. The one thing that I can offer that I've, you know, this is just through movies, but it's a line that I've always, it stuck with me, and it's the most committed wins. The most committed.
Mm-hmm.
These people, they are committed to whatever the cause is.
Mm-hmm.
They will give themselves up to it. So that's just the way it is. So. The most committed wins. Oh, yeah. Woo, we are nearing that 9 o'clock hour, 2 minutes, 35 seconds.
Yes,
646. Yes. It's about to go down.
Call us up, people. Come on now. Don't
right.
be afraid. I know you're out there listening. Don't be afraid. Call us up. I know you guys have stories you want to share about 9/11. Or, you know, whatever you want to talk about. Any violation you saw this week. You know, you saw the girl with the ashy heels, whatever, you know, call in and talk to us.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you guys.
It's about to go down now. It's almost 9 o'clock. AG Soulful's about to hit the airwaves, so we're going to get it in tonight.
I have a little bit more news I would like to read real quick about Michael Clark Duncan.
Mm.
His death certificate was released. He had his private funeral, and his death certificate said it lists respiratory failure as the immediate cause of death, preceded by anoxic encephalopathy, which means not enough oxygen getting to the brain, ventricular fibrillation.
Wow, you butchered it tonight. That's ground turkey right there.
Just don't laugh at it. Ventricular fibrillation, which means an abnormal heart rhythm, and acute myocardial infarction, which is a heart attack. The document also states that the Green Mile Star had sarcoidosis, a disease that can cause inflammation in the lungs, eyes, hands, and other tissues.
Right.
So that's sad. He had a lot going on.
Oh, yeah, he definitely did.
Definitely did.
I think we need to break into some music, get the, you know,
yes,
get a little intermission, and then we're going to come right back. We should have our interview interview mistress going coming in, so we're going to get it going. So let's pop some music real quick, and we'll be right back.
PD Radio.
Guys is listening, hit us up, 646-478-3599. I'm getting a lot of hits on Twitter. They loving the conversation of 9/11 and just going in on, where people were and what their thoughts were. So we're going to keep it rolling. So what you got for me, Miss PD?
I got nothing.
Oh, man, that's not good. I think we need to break it down. We need to break it down. We need to break this down real quick because I know when the whole 9/11 thing went down, there was a lot of, you know, celebrities talking and stuff like that. People, we didn't really want to hear from them because what you got to tell me, you know, as my man would say.
Who gives a fuck with Ja Rule things for the time like this? Like, this is ridiculous. I don't want to dance. I'm scared to death. I want some answers that Ja Rule might not have right now.
Right.
When bad shit happens to me, I'll be in the crib like, oh, my God, this is terrible. Could somebody please find Ja Rule, get hold of this motherfucker so I can make sense of all this.
You know what I'm saying? Like, these people out here taking comments. We're not really trying to hear from them. You know, we need to hear from the government and see what's going on. So I love Dave Chappelle for that one right there. You know what I mean? So, but there's a lot of conspiracy around the whole 9/11. So, just infamous, man. I know me and you, we have talked on many nights, broken it down.
Yeah.
Talk to me, man. How you feeling about that?
Yeah. You know, you got the big, you know, the big conspiracy thing around it. But, you know, my thing is that, you know, it just don't seem right. You know what I mean? You know, they had the military on, you know, on this other thing where they couldn't, you know what I mean, find the planes. You know what I mean? So, like Flight 93, you know what I mean? To me, that's a smoking gun. Because, you know, when it crashed, where's the parts? Where's the fuselage? Where's the wing? Where's, you know, don't tell me that thing just blew everything up when it went down. You know what I mean? Because, you know, the one that went in the Pentagon, you know what I mean, still had, you know, parts and everything else like that. You know, there were, I didn't see no footage of no wings, no luggage, no nothing.
Oh, yeah. They said the plane just disintegrated pretty much. That doesn't happen.
You know, either two things. One, you know what I'm saying, you know, it was like a drone, or, you know what I mean, that plane got shot down in midair.
Right.
I mean, and all that, you know, it just exploded like miles away.
And then with that too, you had groups of people who actually, there was a whole group of people who called out that day. How they know to call out?
Right.
Come on now.
Really? See, I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah. Group of people, you know, called out. Hey, I'm not feeling well.
Oh, wow.
Yes. You know, so, you know, the conspiracy thing is that the government, you know, had knowledge of this and they want it to happen. You know, they want basically, you know what I mean, you know, like a total control thing, you know what I mean, you know, of the masses. They want us scared. They want us, you know, afraid, you know what I mean? So they did a good job, you know what I mean, to a lot of people, but
yeah.
It's just
people.
It's sickening, man. It's just really, really crazy, you know what I mean, what's going on, you know, how people can take power or want power to do anything, you know, to even kill.
Oh, yeah. You need to really take
a look at
that Patriot Act.
You were just saying the other day, Black, how you were like, imagine the stories and the things that the White House knows. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like, imagine what they sit around and talk about, like what they know that the average person... Like, we think stuff is going on, but we don't know for certain that they know for certain that goes on. That's, you know, that's kind of crazy.
Exactly. Just another way to control people, you know. Fear is a way to control people.
Right.
If you have fear, then the American people are more, you know, inclined to vote a certain way. You know, they're more inclined to have stricter policies and things like that because they feel safer. They want more cameras on the street corner because they feel safer. But meanwhile, you're actually giving up a lot of your freedom at the same time, but you don't realize it. So it's a trick. You know, it's really a lot of crazy.
Well, you know, they say the same thing about the Bible and God. You know that. Like.
Oh yeah.
If you want to get that deep with it, they say the same thing. Like, who wrote the Bible? Man wrote the Bible. Does that mean it's, you know, the truth? I'm not saying it's not, so anybody listening, please don't take it the wrong way. This is just, you know, this is just round table discussion right now. But I'm just saying, like you say, with the government, they try to control us to keep a certain order.
Right.
But a lot of people say, too, the Bible is the same way.
Right.
You know, you hear a lot of talk about, well, if God created us, who created God?
Exactly.
You know, and man wrote the Bible. How do we know that just wasn't a way to keep some control on the earth? We don't know. That's why we go by faith. We don't know.
Exactly. And
but
I
that's
always
the way
tell
of the world. It's, Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I always
saying,
tell people, I say,
tell what?
Silence.
Okay, it's a hell of a drug.
You tell what?
Yeah, we
stop it.
I was going to say. I was going to say is that if you look at it, I always tell people that, you know, if you break it down and you look at the Bible for what it is, you take religion out, you take everything that you know about it out. It is the greatest book ever written, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
It is the greatest book ever written. It has the most influence over the masses. Between the Bible, Quran, you know, any religious book, these are the greatest books ever written. And don't ever get it twisted.
Mm-hmm.
More people died over religion than anything. So just be careful, you know, and make sure you interpret it the right way. Make sure you're not going to false prophets and that you're getting, you know, the proper word. So that's all I got to say.
Mm.
Right. Right.
Hmm. I'm just going to say one thing about this and then I'm done with it, but if we all go according to the word of the Bible, we all sinning every day. I don't care how righteous you think you are, you sinning.
Right.
Because according to the Bible, you know, just the little things we do, a lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. No matter how you
slice
or dice it, a lie is a lie. And a lie is a sin. You know, and according to the Bible, we're not supposed to eat anything that's considered a bottom feeder. We'd be tearing up some scripts.
Yes.
Tear up some scripts. You, come on now. You sinning.
Yes.
So all of us sitting around like holier than thou, we no.
Hit the buffet.
We all sinning. I'm trying to tell you. Well, you got it. It's getting down to that time.
Yes, it is.
You know
we are there.
Yes,
we are
going
to kick it in overdrive right now. We have our guest speaker on the line, A.G. Soulful. We're going to bring her in righteously. So make sure you guys are ready for this energy. It's going to be a great interview. Call us up. Make sure you hit us up, 646-478-3599. We are here all night till 10 p.m. So, again, we are talking A.G. Soulful. Is about to bring it in. So here we go. Let's kick it into overdrive.
PD exclusive.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is a PD exclusive.
Woo!
All right, you guys. Right now we have on the line our very special guest of the night, Miss Ashley, a.k.a. A.G. Soulful. Hello, Ashley.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
What's going
I'm
on?
Fine. How are you?
Good, thank you. You have such a lovely voice.
Why, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We want to say to you, welcome to PD Radio and for calling in all the way from Indiana, where you were born and raised in Gary,
yes.
Indiana, the home of one
yes.
of the world's best entertainers, Michael Jackson.
That's right.
Yes.
How
yes.
special is that?
Pretty special.
Yes, it is. You're in good company right now.
Yes.
All right, Miss A.G., I want to start by saying you are an amazing busy little bee. Congratulations on graduating this year from Indiana University.
Thank you.
Ah.
You're welcome. You are. That's right. Give it up for y'all. It's a smart young lady right here. You are also a professionally trained dancer. Were you trained at Alvin Ailey and Chicago Ballet?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's big. Yes. And you choreograph contemporary modern pieces. That's major.
Yes.
So, AG, do you remember having a love of dance as a kid, or was it something your parents put you into that you eventually grew to love?
It was my mom. She put me in it.
Okay.
And eventually I grew to love it, because first it started off with music, and I just remember like being like 10 or 9 years old, and I'm looking at Parliament tapes and putting it in. Like, I like, it was crazy, because as I grew older, and I'm like, this is what I was listening to. I was a little weird child. Like, I have a lot of people say that. So it was just like, my mom, she kind of like put me in it. And afterwards, I was like, okay, mommy, this is pretty cool. And I went to like a performing arts school for it. And afterwards, I just kept dancing and performing. And then I majored in it at IU. So, yeah, shout out to my mommy for that, because it was nobody.
Yeah.
That's right. Shout out to moms. We got
to
get moms.
Respect to mom on that. That's right. Mom, if you're listening, much love from PD Radio.
Mama made greatness. We got to give moms some
love.
That's
right. Always.
Right.
You know that. Well, AG, your bio says your love for music started at the age of 6, as you grew up in a family of musicians, and some of your musical influence are Frankie Beverly and Maze, Earth, Wind and Fire, and the Gap Band, just to name a few. And you already received props from me on your musical taste. Big ups to you on that. I can see where your style comes from. Now, before rapping, did you ever sing? And can you know?
I did, and it was crazy because my mom, I'm a twin. I have a twin brother. So
I saw that.
So my brother is, like, also involved in music, too. Like, he's a percussionist. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so music is basically, it's just something that was just always in me. But I did start it off, when I was little, I did start singing. But then afterwards, I kind of like not hated my voice, so I just started writing, and eventually I came into my own voice and started picking up a pen and trying to rap. So, yeah, I started out singing.
Okay.
I can hold a little note or two, so, yeah.
Can you remember the first song you ever belted out?
Put
you on the spot.
Right. Put me on the spot. I was always,
yes.
I know my... In preschool, my Miss Jones, I remember her. She used to always, I was bold. I was very bold. So she used to always pull me up in front of the little kids. And I used to, like, sing Little Jesus, Love the Little Children, all that songs in front of them. I used to just lead the little kids. It was so precious. So, yeah.
Aww.
That was, like, the first song. And afterwards, I did take vocal lessons at IU to build my vocal cords up. But, I mean, I pretty much like rapping. It's so much cooler, so. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, you discovered your gift of rhyme in your sophomore year in college, and some of your influences are Jean Grey, Andre 3000, and Jill Scott, Common, just to name a few. What was the defining point when you realized this is what you wanted to do?
I remember one day I was just writing to a beat. It was my first time, and I was like, let me record this. Let me record this and see how this will come out. Of course, the first time when you record, it doesn't sound that great. You're always picking out things that something is wrong with it. So I talked to my big brother about it, and I was just like, you know what? I know I've loved music, and I didn't know what I was going to do with music, but I knew I was going to do something in music. So that first time after me writing and recording, and then I let people hear it, it was just like, Ashley, you really have something. It was just like, wow. This is when I knew. I was like, this is for me. This is my purpose. And I knew it was for me. I knew that was my lane. So I think that first time me recording my first song, that was my point. Like, I have to do this, and I have to keep going with it. So, yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, Ashley, I really love your voice, and I truly love your style.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I listen to some of your music on SoundCloud, It's different from what we hear today. Now, just like the guest we had on last week, Miss Toni Stills from New York, shout out to Toni Stills, I feel like you are an artist with integrity. Like, the content of your music is more important than the money or fame aspect. Do you
right.
feel that way?
Yes, ma'am. I'm so glad that that's what I was going for. Oh, my God. I'm so glad that you got that from it, because I'm doing it because it's my God-given gift, but I'm doing it not for the money, because it's just like, I mean, you see millionaires out here, they got all this money, but they don't have their peace of mind. To know your God-given purpose and to know your purpose at a young age, is just that's just a million golden to me. So I never wanted to be the next Nicki Minaj, and I'm not knocking her because, you know, she's out here getting money. She's doing what she loves. You know, I feel like me dancing and me being involved in music and not talking about I call this generation trap music babies because they
– Oh, yeah.
I'm not knocking Gucci Mane, but that's what they listen to. They're not listening to lyrical content. They're not – you know, they just want 808s, and they want to hear that bass in the music. But I mean,
you
and it's some kids out right, and it's some kids out here that actually are want to listen to conscious rap, and that's what I wanted to bring. And I feel like we got enough the sex in the media. Like, I mean, come on. I just feel like for me, I feel like I want young girls to look up to me. So I also want to be careful what I put out. So I wanted to have a lot of integrity in my music. Like, it's okay to be smart. It's okay to go to school. It's okay
right.
to be yourself. It's okay. You don't have to wear all this stuff and get all these tattoos. Like, it's okay to be different. And a lot of kids, and I see it every day when I actually work at a high school. I'm teaching dance and I'm volunteering. And they're into the trends. They want to shave their head off. They want to. It's like when I was little, I couldn't do that. Like, my mom's like, girl, you got to go sit down somewhere. But it's
you know?
Like, seriously. And I'm looking at them like, your mama let you come out the house with an American flag on the side of your head and half of it shaved. That is not life. Like, that's like a young lady should not carry herself as if that's,
wow.
that's what corporate America expects us to be, especially when it comes to the style of dancing. And I get, oh, you dance, you do hip-hop. Of course you're going to associate that with me because I'm black. No, I'm actually
right.
a trained dancer. So,
you tell it, girl.
That's right.
I am loving you right now.
Thank you so much.
Breaking it down.
I mean,
yes, she is.
Because, I mean, it's a lot of people out here, and I was so afraid to come out and say, yes, I rap, because they look at me, oh, she's gorgeous, and she does dance, and you rap? What? Nah, I'm spitting. Don't let the cute smile fool you. So it's just like,
I hear that.
So it's like I have to, and it's not a lot of females. It's just like a lot of people want to conform to what the world is, and they are afraid to be themselves. And I'm like, hey, I don't have to show my my booty to get recognized.
Right.
So it's just like I'm just me. I'm here, world. I'm here. So, I mean, like I said, I'm not knocking anybody hustle. You know, shout out to any female MC out there making it, but I just feel like I'm in my own lane, and it's just like I just want – my sister was like, I just want a smart female MC to just come out and just educate. It's like, I'm here, sis. Like, I'm here. So it's just like, I don't have to. That's what I want to show the world. Like, I don't have to expose myself for what is long, extra weave or, you know, I can be me, and I can still spit, and I can still, you know, look dainty and gorgeous while spit on the level of guys. So that's I'm
and you do it so
that.
Well.
Thank you so much. Thank you,
you
so
do.
Much.
That's what I was just going to say. I was like, you are definitely doing it because, you know, I listen to a lot of music, and one of the things I like to do is just listen to music, you close your eyes, and you really gauge in on the artist's voice. And your voice is just angelic. It's so inviting.
Yes.
And it just, you know, you have to listen to it. So I can't wait for the listeners to get into your track that we're going to play later. So I'm a big fan.
Well, thank you. Well, AJ, I'm gonna keep it all the way real with you right now. You know, when C, you know, said, you know, she's a dope artist, you know, you need to get her on the show. Of course, I respect, you know, his ear. So when he says it to me, it's done. If he says to me, you need to get so and so on your show, it's done for me. But what it wasn't until I went to SoundCloud and listened to you. I was like, who is this girl? Like, I'm listening to your music, and I'm like, I don't know what I expected, because you're obviously beautiful.
Thank you.
A beautiful young lady. So I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if I was going to get the Nicki Minaj mentality. I didn't know what I was going to get. So when I listened to your music and I heard you, I was like, I am so impressed.
Like a breath of fresh
air, right? I'm like, she has it together. She has it going on. And just listening to your lyrical content and how you, you know, how you deliver it, look, I'm going to tell you, I'm a fan.
I
love it.
I
love your music.
I really appreciate it. I really do. And I'm so glad that you got integrity out of it, because I just always wanted to be myself throughout my music, because it was just like, you know, when an artist is coming out,
mm-hmm.
I was still trying to find my sound. So, yes, I did experiment with trap beats. But I'm like, no, this is not who I am. I know I remember talking to my mom about it, and I was like, Mommy, she was like, just turn down the cussing and we'll be fine. And I was like, okay, Mommy. So I limit the cuss words. I was like, this is not cute. Jesus is not pleased with me using all these F-bombs.
Right.
So I tuned it out, and then I know I took my mom to the studio with me, and she would look at me, and she was just like, I didn't know my daughter had it in her. Like, she was so shocked.
And she was so shocked.
And I was just like, Mommy, she was like, you got my support. But she embarrassed me, because she told my producer, like, she was like, I've been rapping before Kirk Franklin. I'm like, you know what? You need to leave the studio, because you were not embarrassed today. But, yeah, she's like, I love her to pieces. So it's like, for her to be behind me 100%, because, you know, a lot of parents do not condone rapping. And, I mean, I will understand, because what we see on the TV is just like, you know, I'm very stickler when it comes to my niece. I'm like, what y'all watching? I ain't got that time. Go put on some Blues. Go put on some Frankie Beverly. That is my favorite band, y'all. Sorry. I'm all
okay.
What you know about Frankie B?
Yeah, exactly. What you know about that, AG? I don't know.
I'm going to tell y'all. That's the golden time of day. I know about it.
No, she didn't.
That's what I'm talking about.
I love it.
Yeah, you always got a home here at PD Radio. You know, just hit us up anytime you want. You can come on the show. Trust me.
AG, I love your energy. I love your style. Like I already said, you're obviously beautiful. Like, you're like the total package. I mean, you are what the industry needs right now. And just keep grinding and keep doing your thing, because you are the type of artist that we need right now. We don't need a follower. We need a leader. We need somebody that's going to stick to the truth to say, this is me. I'm trying to put out good quality music. Love it or leave it. And you are definitely doing that. So big respect, you know, to you on that at AG. I love it.
Definitely.
Man, I appreciate it. Y'all about to make me cry and stuff. Y'all know I'm a girl. Y'all got to be hard.
I keep it real all the time. I'm not even fronting with you. I'm not trying to, like, make your head big or not. And I'm just keeping it all the way real. I listen to your music. I do love it. And I am a fan. So just please keep doing what you're doing. And don't let, you know, these labels or anybody out here influence your style. You keep doing it just the way you're doing it right now. You are currently recording a project with Faculty Studio in Indiana. How is that coming along?
Well, right now, Lord, I've been so busy. Let me tell y'all. I'm going to go in. I'm trying to knock out a song a week, because right now I'm working with a group of girls. They're doing band dancing. I'm training a group of girls in ballet and modern. So I've been really busy. So I started on my song. So I'm going to make a promise. As soon as my project drop, I'm going to make sure Six Man Radio, PD Radio, is the first to have the link. I'm going to make sure you guys have it.
Now, you guys heard it. You heard it from Miss AG. We will be the first to hear it. PD Radio, Six Man Radio, this is where you'll hear it.
Exactly.
I have a quick question, real quick. Do you have any footage of you actually dancing, either modern jazz? Do you have any footage of you just getting it on out there, YouTube or anything like that?
I do. It's like little 3 videos, but I'm freestyling. So, I mean,
nothing wrong with that.
I do have little videos. I have little videos on my little YouTube channel.
Okay.
I'm going to try. I didn't forget my YouTube channel. I'm so sorry, y'all.
I was going to say, what's your YouTube? We need to let people know that.
We want people to see, exactly. We want to get the full package,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
Okay. Hold on. I'm about to log
in. Well, if you
in,
can't
right?
remember, just hit us up later, and we'll put that out there.
I definitely will.
Okay. Well, AG, given the opportunity, who would you like to work with in music and in dance?
In music and in dance. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start with dance because music, Lord, is so many people.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
dance. I would love
mm-hmm.
to work with their right here. I actually had a chance to work with one of the choreographers, Deeply Rooted Dance Company,
okay.
located in Chicago, Illinois. They're a phenomenal dance company.
Okay.
Also, Ron K. Brown, dance company called Evidence. They're in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to work with them in dancing.
Mm-hmm.
As far as music, where do I start? Talib Kweli.
Bring it.
Talib Kweli.
Oh, okay.
I love Missa Jean Grey. She's so dope. Like, she's just so slept on. Like, I love Jean Grey. I would
mm-hmm.
love to collab with Tweet. She's so slept on. She has a beautiful voice.
Oh,
yeah, Black has been saying that
mind.
For a while.
I'm telling you,
reading
my mind on that
Tweet.
One.
Yes, like she is, and then she's still dropping new stuff. I think she's working on a new project, but she has this thing called Tweet Tuesdays, and it's like on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
she's dropping.
Oh, really?
Stuff. She is.
Yep.
Who else? I don't know. Like, it's who else? Y'all didn't put me on the spot, Lord.
Hey, that's what we do on PD Radio.
That's what we do.
If Kendrick Lamar is listening, Kendrick Lamar, hey, boo. hey, no
subliminal.
That's right. Get it in.
I would love to work with him as well. I would love to work with Kendrick Lamar, Abso. The whole Top Dog Entertainment family are dope.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's
I don't know. That sounds like that could be a little love connection right there. What you think, Black? I don't know.
Ooh. That'll get me in. Put me in jail on that one.
Well, right now, AG, we want to play your song, and I want you to have the honors of introducing it to the listeners.
Okay. Well, hello, world. My name is AG, and right now you will be listening to PSA The Real by me, AG. Hope you guys like it.
That's right, PD Radio.
PD Radio. PD Ooh. Radio exclusive. You heard it here first. PSA The Real by AG Soulful, the beautiful and talented AG Soulful. You guys, what you think of that song? You better call us up at 646-478-3599 and tell us what you think about that song. AG, I'm loving it. Great
Thank
song.
Thank you so much. Thank
I know
you.
I'm loving it.
You got the sexy
it.
Soul going on. Oh, my goodness. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. You
Thank
better
you.
Go. Well, AG, you are young and just starting out, but you seem to definitely have your head on straight and you're focused. PD
yes.
Radio salutes you, and we support your grind 1,000%. Before
you.
We sign off, is there anything you'd like the listeners to know about you or any shout-outs you want to give?
I don't want to be ghetto because y'all know I'm from Gary, and y'all know I got a whole
That's
list.
All right.
Girl.
You better get it in, girl.
I got to act like I'm at the awards. I want to give. I
there
am
you
that
go.
I am. I got to give me
mm-hmm.
baby Jesus. Shout-out to him because without him,
That's
none of
right.
this would be impossible.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Faculty Studios, shout-out to you guys. My mama, my brothers, my twin brothers. I mean, if I forgot somebody, you know, I love you. Jesus know my heart. He loves you, and he loves me, too. He loves everybody. Yes, Lord. Who else?
That's right.
That's all I can think of. I hope you guys, anyone that listens to me, support my music. I'm working hard, y'all. I know y'all like, where the music at? I'm working hard. I'm bringing you guys a mixtape. I'm working so hard. So please support me. Stay by the radio. PD Radio, Six Mirror Radio will be the first
That's
ones
right.
to have my mixtape, the link. So please be on the lookout, and thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. I'm so humble. Yes, and that's all I have to say.
Well, we are so honored to have you on tonight, AG. And you guys, you can find out her information on our PD Radio website at pdradio.site40.net. Check up on her. Google her. You guys need to know AG Soulful. She's bringing you that real music, that real sexy soulful hip-hop. You guys got to get up on her. AG, again, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for calling in and just sharing your life with us tonight. We really appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
And when you drop the new
Always
music, you call it. You call us up right away because you have a home here at PD Radio.
Okay, thank you so much. I definitely
That's
will.
Right.
All right.
All right,
well, thank
we'll talk to you later.
Yes,
right.
You have a good night.
You too.
All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
How lovely was that?
She's so sweet. I
the
love her.
Off of that right there. Oh, man,
yes.
I can't. You know I'm definitely going to get the YouTube footage. I definitely want people to see the skills. I can just imagine. You don't get into the Alvin Haley. You don't, no. We gotta get that footage.
Exactly. This is a talented young woman. You guys really need to get up on her. You know, like growing up, her musical influences were, for her to be so young, mind you, she just graduated college. You know what I mean? And she grew up on Frankie Beverly and Maze, Earth, Wind & Fire,
right.
The Gap Band. It's like, and you hear that in her music. You
right.
know,
exactly.
You don't hear any of that young, whatever, her music. You hear the real, you hear the soul of her music. The song that we played, PSA The Real, come on now. How soulful and sexy is that song? She's bringing it. You know, you have to love a young woman like that. She has integrity. She was brought up the right way, and she's going to make music the right way, and she's not going to let the industry dictate what she puts out. Nothing but respect for me on that.
Exactly. And I think also with music and the way it's being, you know, put out right now, a lot of these younger you know, artists, it's an act of desperation. So they're doing what
mm-hmm.
everyone else is doing. When you're not desperate, you can do your own thing. You don't have to worry
exactly.
about any consequences. You don't have to worry about someone telling you what to do. So put out your real music so people can get to know the real you. So I love it. We're gonna keep it rolling. Tonight has been crazy. We're going to get back on our topics in a moment. But I'm just still feeling that song and just the whole vibe that we just got from that interview. So
You know what I think, Black? Seriously, I think we should do an encore of that song. I think we need to play it again right now.
Oh, yeah. We're going to play it again right
now. No, I mean
now.
Right
Let's
now.
Let's do that.
AG
we're
going to
do it right
y'all.
Now.
Check
Let's
it out.
It. That's right.
PD Radio.
My lines, shed blood and tears, buddy's trying times, a Judas in every bunch, so I'm always ducking, and be careful who you love, cause your heart will be broken and torn apart. I'm a real blood diamond, I was made under pressure, go to war with any motherfucker, sit inside now, I get it in your eye, now you niggas blind. They said hip hop is dead, did you check the grave? She resurrected like Pac hologram, made a stance like nigga, here I am. Tasha Mack, y'all Malik, all her sons. And if you can't take the heat in the kitchen, run. I smell so fresh like Guns and Roses. Dance like RuPaul, watch me strike my poses. Four poser niggas, cause they whacking posers. Need a soldier in my life that can carry boulders and hold my weight while he got the both of us. And gotta trust. Can't trust anybody cause no one is real. And I'm thrilling everything I do. And I'ma keep spitting rhymes till my face turn blue. Shout out my enemies for my footstool. No weapon formed against me, I'ma keep my cool. World on my shoulders, I'm the world's strongest woman. Dreams and my goals, ain't no nigga I'm pursuing. Hubby caught one to the Reno, now he pissing in bags. Niggas shooting everybody, all I see is toe tags. Breaking niggas' neck like a motherfucking levy. Heard his heart drop, breathing, become a heavy hip hop. Ballerina, grateful flow with bars. Need a spaceship, shit. Send me to Mars, and maybe I can find a real nigga. Rick James, all these niggas think I'm cold blooded. Tears that I cried, left the soul flooded. Angela Davis to this rap game. These other niggas, such a low down, dirty shame.
Thank you. You know I love you, right?
I love you too.
Oh, ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. Whatever you do with my baby.
Yes. Shit built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Look at the situation that happened and how that thing went down, and
know, just the timing of it, you know, people who seem to know of events before the timeline happened, I put it that way.
Right.
And to be aware of where they needed to be, or should I say not needed to be on that specific day. So rumors have been flying left and right, you know, but, you know, like most things in this history we live in, it's going to be 20 years before we get the truth. So we got another at least, you know, 9 years, you know, before we get the truth about what really happened that day.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you remember what you were doing when it first happened? Do you have a memory of that?
I do. I mean, I was actually working, and when I came into work, I mean, like the day, perfect day, weather was just incredible.
Right.
Sunny, and got in the office, and you know we had at that time one of these big screen TVs, you know, in the main conference room. And it was on. Usually it's on early in the morning, you know. But I had got to my desk. You know, I had a little radio at that time. You know, it was just a little way back before, you know, we had got so sophisticated with computers on the radio, you know, and all that stuff. So. They cut in, you know. I think I was listening. I might listen to KYW, and they cut right in and said a building had slammed into, you know, the World Trade Center. So they said, well, hey, you know, looked like it was an accident, you know, small little prop plane flying low, whatever. These things happen. You know, so they, you know, they threw it up on the news, and we see the building smoking. But they said, well, the World Trade Center, huge building like that, they'll handle that. They was reporting on it, so it was going in the morning, so nothing else was going on, so they kind of kept it on there, you know, and doing the reporting, speculating about what this is going to mean and how they're going to put this out, so on and so forth. Then all of a sudden, another John slammed into the other building.
I never knew it was a time in between the two planes hit. What was that anyway?
Maybe 10 minutes.
Wasn't that far, Yeah,
10 or 20 minutes, maybe. I mean, while they were reporting on the other building, you know, talking about, you know, how soon they can put it out and it's on there.
Right.
You know, what floor was on, and this is not really going to be an issue. They'll be able to take care of this. Hopefully nobody's hurt from that particular crash. And then 10 minutes later, bam, this joint slams into the other one.
Yeah.
And I got like a chill. I said, wait a minute. You know, it just gave me a chill. I said, something's going on, obviously, but, you know, just the whole fact that it happened like that.
Right,
you know,
right.
And,
yeah.
and then they showed it, and then it was on TV, and they said, okay, wait a minute, let's look at this. This thing is not, you know, coming in this building like losing control or dropping out. So this thing is flying point blank into this building, like on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else that's that, you know, it was crazy.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, you know, I was at work when I was watching it, and, you know, like I'm sitting there like with the dummy face, like this is not, I'm not really seeing this. I felt really stupid because I'm watching it, but I'm like, I'm not watching it. And, you know, I hear them reporting on it, but I'm like, I'm not hearing what I'm really hearing. Like, so I was kind of like dazed, and then when the second one hit and I'm sitting there like, this is not happening right now. I'm not really seeing this.
Right,
it was so surreal. It was crazy.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely.
You don't think of anyone who's going to hit the World Trade Center. You're like, that's never going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, that's not possible.
Right.
Yeah.
The U.S. government had been so many years out of the whole game in terms of terroristic threats. I mean, you know, I mean, for the last few years, I'm always back to, you know, back to the other bombing, you know, out in out west, was that Colorado or Denver, you know, where the dude...
I know exactly what you're talking about.
That changed the game because everybody was always looking at, you know, Arabs doing it and this happening and, you know, terrorists were mostly from the foreign country, not to say in this particular situation it wasn't. Just by the mere fact, America was not, quote-unquote, not looking at anybody really having the guts to attack them on, you know, on sovereign ground.
Right.
Obviously, this was the wake-up call, and it hit the World Trade Center, you know, which is if we all know at this point is an economic hub, at least it was.
Right.
You know, World Bank, you know, the International Monetary Fund, you know, gold bullion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything
IMF.
From the central bank, it says the International Monetary Fund,
everything was coming through there. That was not only a icon in terms of a building. That was an international information hub. You know, all intelligence, all economic and commerce data. So when they hit that building, it was a strike to shut down the whole economic system. And
exactly.
They can play it off like they want. That's the effects right now we're feeling is from that.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we still, exactly. There are so many people who lost their jobs after that. It's ridiculous. Who couldn't find work for at least two years.
Right.
Because of that whole incident. So.
Whole incident. You know?
Crazy.
And our intelligence is supposed to be what it was to be. How did they miss that? You know?
And right. So
this is where the conspiracy theory come in, because we have knowledge of everything else. And we do, but somehow we missed that one. We didn't see the signs, whether it be.
Oh, no, they didn't miss it. They definitely didn't miss
it. Oh, that is the talk. That is definitely the talk. We knew it was going to happen.
Exactly. And it gets creepy, but if you look at what we were doing outside the country, things come full circle. That's the way things go. You were doing something, this is the repercussions for that.
Right.
We didn't. And then that's exactly what
Just Infamous was saying earlier. That's exactly what Just was saying. He was like, we can't, you know, go to these other countries and do what we want to do and think there's no, you know, not going to be any repercussions of it. There is.
Exactly.
And that day was a result of it.
Absolutely.
Because my question is, too, I want to bring this around the whole round table. You know, Infamous, when you found out that these guys were trained under the United States to fly these planes, how did you feel about that?
Right. You know what I mean? They, going out there taking crop dusters, you know, practicing and shit like that. You know, I'm like, you know, then, you know, they supposed to have, like, FBI agents on them, you know, and they lose them, you know what I mean, the day of, get bored on the plane. You know what I mean? Now, if they were supposed to be on the no-fly list, why are these monkeys on the plane?
That's
right. You know what I mean? So, you got to scratch your head on that. You know what I mean? And then the dude that owned the buildings, you know what I mean, took out insurance 2 days before the buildings got, you know what I mean, went down.
Right. What did he do?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, he took out some type of insurance on the building like a day or two before, you know what I mean, 9/11.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I did
that monkey
not
was
know
crashing
that.
Down so he can get that money. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, a lot of paperwork been lost, like my man said, you know, old head said, you know, a lot of paperwork been lost, a lot of stuff, you know what I mean, got to start all over with. You know, they hit the, you know, the financial hub of the United States.
And the other fact is that airspace over there, that airspace is always controlled over there.
Yeah, NORAD. NORAD.
Right. Any other thing that flies through there, they're like, wait a minute, whoa, who is this? If you don't come down, we'll bring you down. So how did that plane even get in vicinity without getting shot down or checked? Because usually fighters would cover that area. You know,
they were on this North American exercise. You know what I mean? And they were deployed out there on the same day, the same time. You know what I mean? I'm like, come on.
Always exercise, right? Always,
you know what I mean?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
It's just ridiculous. You know, when you start to look at the floor,
you guys are tripping me out right now.
It's incredible, man.
This is going to be the formula right here. I can see it now. It's going to be Infamous, Old Head, Power C, and the PD crew. We're going to get this thing cracking, man, just start breaking down stuff because, oh, man, this is crazy.
Yeah, I love you guys. I mean, you keep it real and you bring it, and you know exactly what you're talking about. So we need to have you guys on more often, definitely.
Oh, looking forward to it. Looking forward to it because information is there and it needs to be reported.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Reported and stated. I mean, hey, I'm like, at this point, it's nothing to fear because what they haven't done to us already.
Right.
And we still here, ain't shit they can do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Bug me, check me. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but you need to know what's going on, and they need to know that again, this is all part of, and I don't mean to deviate, but this is all part of that mind control. This is all part
right.
of the same shit.
Oh, that's you're right. I know we only have about 10 minutes left. What do you
so
got
Black,
to say?
Off air, Black. We're gonna definitely have to set up that PD roundtable for Old Head, Just Infamous, and Power C. It's going down. PD Ready on the future. Y'all need to hold on tight because it's going down. We're gonna set that up because you guys, man, please, y'all bringing it.
I have a question for y'all. I know we're short on time. We're down to the last, like I said, 9 minutes. But I want to find out between the both of you guys, what do you guys think about the whole superstructure component of the World Trade Center and how the planes could have, you know, destroyed the building and things like that? Like, was it possible? What do you know about that? So we're going to start with Infamous first and then Old Head. I want you to follow up on that.
Like I said, I talked to Black about this, you know, years ago, but I did a 2-year research when it hit, you know what I mean, from 01 to 03. I've been on the, you know, internet watching documentaries, you know what I'm saying, about the whole thing, you know what I mean, Loose Change, all those guys, but, you know, it looked like to me a controlled demolition, you know what I mean, but they're saying that, you know what I mean, that heat from the jet fuel, all that gas, you know what I mean, just melted one, you know, structure, you know what I mean, and everything else is going to collapse like that. You know what I mean? If you look at the footage, you see where puffs of smoke is coming out of, like, 20 stories below, even before it started sliding down. You know what I'm saying? You can see it coming down, but you also see these little mini, like, bombs going off, you know what I mean? Like, you know, boom, 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 going down. So,
So are they saying that part, like pieces of the plane, like parts of the engine, kind of fell through the structure, and then maybe is that what they're saying? Or
No. They're saying
I don't think that's what they're saying.
Yeah, you know, I mean, those buildings were built to sustain.
They were rigged.
They said like you know, category
five.
Yeah, like five. You know, far as like
hurricanes and stuff.
Hurricanes. So
right,
that thing should have been up. That's why those firemen said, okay, wait a minute, this plane is stuck right on this floor. We're going to go up and see how we can help these people. You know, if they knew that thing was going to come down like that, you think the firemen would have went up in there like that? You know?
You're right.
Tell it.
And another thing is, Building 7, we ain't talking about that yet. That building went down. How?
Right. We don't talk about that a lot.
They were saying debris from the World Trade Center, you know what I mean, went on it and caught fire and went down. Same way. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to have a follow-up show on that.
Yeah.
Definitely. So we got about 4 minutes. So, Old Head, speak your piece, baby. Talk to us.
He defines it exactly. It defines logic. It defines physics. It defines engineering, gravity. You're talking about steel, molten steel. What kind of temperature? I mean, jet fuel doesn't reach that temperature. And if it did, you know what I'm saying, why are people reporting hearing explosions? You know what I mean? After the plane crashed, we're reporting hearing a second explosion.
Right.
And typically, there's no report of any plane crash you and I ever heard where there's no debris. There's always a fuselage, some type of plane, engine, wing. Where's the fuselage? Where's pieces of the plane at? We reported tons of paper flying around, graffiti. You know, it was some metal, a lot of debris, but no fuselage. I mean, we know what was reported. And then, like you said, you're talking about two individual planes. One was, quote-unquote, I guess, a 747. Another one, a small plane. So, okay, so the first building to hit, you know, with the small plane, you know, building one, that was enough heat from that small plane to be generated.
Right.
The breakdown beams. When you look at the circumference of that building, you're talking about buildings inside a building. This is a huge structure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Why did the top part crumple first and then the building collapsed? Now, this building fell in stacks.
Right.
It fell in stacks and not from the side, a demolition precision explosion. We all seen demolition explosion. When they drop these buildings, they fall straight down.
Right.
Well, come on, let's just use common sense here and not be, you know, put to sleep by the bullshit.
Right.
You better tell it.
That's all it.
You better tell it. Love it. Love this debate. I love it.
I mean, and on the back end of that, man, and just, you know, just watching the footage of Bush's face and all kinds of other stuff, man. It just kind of, you know,
stupid.
The whole, it does, it just irks you, and then he comes up with the whole speech afterwards and stuff. You know, he messed everything up. He messed it up.
Everything. This motherfucker has fucked up everything. Gas, water, air, everything. And he's not just stupid. Bush don't even give a fuck. He won't even try. At least if you're stupid, you should try. He don't even try. I don't even know why he go to the press conference. He don't even talk about shit they even be talking about. They just, what do you think about the problem in Darfur? You get on that horse, you gotta ride it.
You know what I'm saying? How the hell did he get
two-turned? Let's see. Two-turned.
He just looks stupid. His face is just stuck on stupid. I can't stand him.
Man, how he even get two terms? Seriously. We're not even going to get in on the whole Florida issue. That's a whole nother show.
Oh, that's, come on. Yeah.
But
that's
I
a
think
whole
the closer we
show.
Get to, yeah, the closer we get to the election, we are going to have, we got to run it down. I think we have to. So.
I just want to say real quick,
about if
you
don't
guys,
go find a way, you better
mm-hmm.
stack your canned goods and, you know, I mean, put your firearms up. This is so crazy.
That's what I was going to say. You guys that are listening right now, this is no joke, okay? You can't say, oh, I'm one person. My vote is not going to matter. You need to get your butt up, register right now if you are not registered, and you need to get yourself to the polls this November and vote. This is no joke. One person makes a difference, and you need to get out there, and you need to get it done. Because if Romney gets in office, we're done. We're all going to be crybabies. I'm trying to tell you. This is far beyond Obama being black. It's not about that. He's the best candidate to get this country back to where it needs to be. And you guys need to get out and vote, point blank, period. It's the PD.
That's right. I know we are
death.
Running low on time. We're at 2:40. I want to thank everybody who came on. Definitely our special guest, AG Soulful. It was a great interview. We're going to put more information out on the website, YouTube, personal web pages, how you can connect with her. She is going to do big things coming up in the future, and we're going to have her here on PD Radio. So you know how we do.
Shout out to Old Head and Just Infamous for calling
That's
in.
Right.
We appreciate you guys for calling in and bringing the truth. We definitely want to have you guys back on the show to always discuss what's going
That's
on
right.
in the world. Yes.
This is just the beginning, baby.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just the beginning. So we're
going to
end the show.
You guys are part of the PD family. We need you.
That's right. Part of the family. So I got to give you guys a cheer, man. It's been a great round table.
What's up?
Yeah, we're going to keep it rolling, you know, different topics coming up. So we're going to take it out the way we started the interview process with a little bit more. We got to play that AG Soul for one more time to take us away.
Play it
so,
one more game.
We see y'all next week, baby, next Tuesday, 8 to 10, PD Radio.
PD Radio.